Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
Welcome to the podcast. Hi, Alex Ruggieri here, my special guest today, Stephen Smullen. Steve is a commercial real estate investor, broker, counselor, and exchanger, educator, and longtime practitioner using creative solutions to real estate-related problems. He has closed transactions involving the FDIC, the RTC, U.S. Marshals Office, U.S. Bankruptcy Court, many, many banks and partnerships, and others since the early 80s, following hundreds of cases, attending dozens of sheriff and judicial sales, and assisting clients and partners in the disposition, acquisition, and stabilization of properties. He's a member of the National, Illinois, and Chicago Association of Realtors, and he was a charter member of the Northern Illinois Commercial Association of Realtors. He's created and presented programs and workshops, including formulas, brainstorming, problem solving, real estate, it's about the bennies, that's benefits, not Benjamins, how to get what you want when you can't sell what you've got, exploring profits and opportunities in commercial real estate, and packaging properties for profits, which is what we're going to talk about today. Welcome to the call today.
Well, thank you, Alex. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, I am delighted to have someone of your caliber and pedigree on our call today. We had a little pre-call last week, and we talked about some of the things we might touch on, and I really feel strongly that our commercial practitioners can benefit from hearing from you today. I always try to slant this call towards helping them add value, helping them increase their income, and benefit their businesses. And I think that our discussion with you today will do all of those things. So why don't we get right started on our topic. What do you mean by due diligence, and what do you need to know?
The concept of packaging properties for profits was about things you need to know to profit, buying, selling, and trading real estate, really navigating through the complicated maze of real estate transactions. And as you know, it's not too difficult to run into a losing situation by having not really done your homework. So the place I start with is sellers, brokers, and other individuals. You know, the first position really is making it easy for people to do business with you. The easier it is for people to do business with you, the more enthusiastic they are, the more committed they become to the transaction. You know, and that involves being prepared to transact and providing information. The common practice, it seems, is caveat emptor. The buyer needs to beware. And these days, and for quite some time now, the cry or the claim is always confidential information, confidential information. It amazes me that I ask for a rent roll or I ask for actual expense detail, and I'm told that that's confidential information, we can't share that, and then that broker will proceed to tell me all sorts of confidential information but not deliver to me the facts that I need to know to make a decision. So it's really kind of a bizarre situation. The thing that we need to recognize is that the failure on a seller or a broker's part to take reasonable steps to facilitate the buyer's due diligence in a transaction ultimately becomes the seller's problem. You know, if the seller can't get their deal done, if the seller can't get their funding, and as you know, if the buyer can't get their funding, and as you know, most buyers do rely on some third-party funding to close their transaction.
Right.
If they can't get their funding, the seller's got a problem. Their deal's not going to close.
Absolutely.
So my attitude has long been that the seller should assemble all of the information that the seller would want to see if the seller were actually the buyer. When I'm selling property, when I'm buying property, I want to see the rent roll. I want to see what the title looks like, find out if there's any surprises hidden there. I want to see the survey to confirm that I believe that I'm buying what I believe that I'm buying. Well, if that's the things that I want to see as a buyer, why wouldn't I anticipate that as a seller? You know, the common mistake when selling real estate, the seller lists their property with a broker and they receive an offer or a letter of intent. The contract is 9 times out of 10 subject to some form of due diligence. And it says that the seller is going to provide A, B, C, D, a list of things that the seller is going to need to provide in order for the purchaser to determine that the property is appropriate for the searcher, the buyer's needs or goals. And so the seller sends that offer off to their attorney. Their attorney does the things that attorneys do to modify the contract and make it acceptable for us to do a deal. And the seller waits until the contract is fully executed. Then they start assembling all these things.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes any sense.
Opposite way it should be done.
Exactly. If you're serious about selling your property, then you should be prepared to transact. Not prepared to list, prepared to transact, prepared to go to closing. Yes, you pull a preliminary title, there is going to be some update. But if you're selling your property, you're not going to do anything between this date and that date intentionally that's going to jeopardize your transaction. You're working towards accomplishing your goals and moving and getting on with your life. So the perfect seller really needs to include in their due diligence package that they're going to give to a buyer or interested parties, seriously interested parties. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we shouldn't qualify and we shouldn't require non-disclosure and confidentiality agreements. I completely respect all these things. I think they're an important part of our business. But the seller really needs to be prepared to provide that current title. And Lisa, a list of the documents, copies of the documents that come up in that title. If there's unusual easements or license agreements or long-term lease arrangements that are involved in that are going to carry over to new ownership, these things need to be made available for the due diligence process. Otherwise, we go down the path of we get into a contract, we reveal these things, we uncover these things the hard way, and then we say, that doesn't work for me, I'm not doing that deal, I'm in attorney's review, I'm in my document review period, I'm in my due diligence period, kill the deal. Now the buyer's going all the way back to square one, the seller is going all the way back to square one looking for a new buyer because they didn't disclose things right out front.
Yeah. And you know, nowadays, it's so easy to create a document vault with protected passwords, etc., but everything can be in there. And if you do it right, when you do have the query and you do have the qualification and that buyer has signed the NDA or whatever, you can give them the keys of the vault and they can look at anything and everything they want.
That's exactly right. It's not like the old days, and you and I recall when we used to have to go down to the copy shop and we'd produce these backup package booklets of information, and we'd have $20 or $30 worth of documents in each copy of that thing.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So we wanted to make sure the other side of that transaction was committed, seriously interested, and not just somebody kicking the tires before we were handing out these $30
rather expensive
information.
Yeah, plus the postage to mail them and everything else.
You remember dragging that bundle of books on the airplane to go to a marketing meeting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, we remember those days.
Yeah, so, what gets me is it's so much easier today, and yet people still don't do it. And a part of it is properly counseling and sitting down with your sellers when you meet with them so they have a level of expectation.
Yes, absolutely. You're a serious seller. You're a broker, you're a realtor, be a serious professional. You know, I go to meetings and I don't rely on my memory or even common sense. I take with me a checklist that I created way back in, I want to say back in the 1980s. And it's been modified a few times over the years. I no longer require photographs and the negatives as an example. But, you know, so it has evolved. It has updated with the times. But I have this list of items that we're going to need to close a deal. We're serious about selling this property. These are the things we're going to need to go to closing. Let's get those things together from day one, and let's act as if we're going to closing in the next 30 days. And maybe it takes us 90, 180, 360 days to actually get to a closing table, but we're a lot better off. It massively boosts our credibility, both as a broker and as a seller. You know what? Actually, not to mention as a buyer, when I go to get that loan, when I go to the bank and the bank asks me questions and I have the support materials, the documentation, and all of the information readily available, that lender looks at me like I'm somebody that knows what he's doing. They don't look Absolutely. At me as an amateur that relies on them to tell me what I need to facilitate a transaction for them to be able to lend me money. They look at me and they say, this guy knows what I'm doing. I can have faith and confidence in him.
Absolutely. It makes all the difference in the world. Otherwise, it's like almost like they're holding your hand, and you don't want to be that broker. You don't want to be that guy.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, one of the other things, and I know we're on a short clock here, one of the other things that I wanted to get out, all of that due diligence material, we need to get that stuff together. Another important thing that we need to remember, whatever side of the transaction we're on, is that, you know, real estate is our chosen vehicle to accomplish our dreams and our goals and our desires and fulfill our needs. But properties don't make deals. People make deals.
Yep.
And people make the decisions. People make the decisions that they make to enter into a transaction to fulfill some benefit or some desire. Very few people go out there and say, you know, I'm looking for one of those Chicago apartment buildings that's made with those blonde bricks. No, they may prefer the blonde brick building, but ultimately they're after the cash flow, or they're after the roof over their head for their in-laws that's in the proper area for them to go to work, get a job, come to my house, babysit for my kids. Whatever that benefit is that they're seeking, it's the benefits that they're looking for. It's not the features. You know, value is a perception, and the value of anything is directly proportionate to the benefits that we receive from it. And a benefit can be anything. It can be anything that's advantageous or good. Certainly, a profit is a desirable benefit. A payment or a gift to help somebody is a benefit. To be of benefit to somebody, or how about to produce the desired effect in another's mind?
You know, yeah, I mean, and the benefit's different for each person a lot of times. And that's why you need to counsel with these people and find out what is motivating them. But we're about out of time for this call. I wish we had an hour because this is great stuff, and I would highly encourage people to reach out to you and maybe take one of these courses. What would you say are the top three things that you'd want people to remember from our call today? If they forgot everything else, what are the top three things, Steve?
Boy, you know, the top three things, that's a tough one because we've barely scratched the surface of the subjects we'd like to cover today. Make it easy for people to do business with you. Be prepared. You know, the failure to facilitate the buyer's due diligence ultimately becomes the seller's problem.
Yeah.
I'd say those are a couple of absolute top things. And then, again, properties don't make deals. People make deals. We need to be operating from the perspective of benefits, not the perspective of bricks and mortar. We've chosen real estate as the vehicle to exercise and practice our profession, but ultimately we're in the people business, and we should be dealing in our profession from the people perspective, from the benefits that the people desire. And when we're dealing with the bricks and mortar, we should be communicating the benefits over the bricks and mortar, the features of the property.
Fantastic. Steve, thank you so much. We've had Steve Smullen, our guest today, and we were talking about how to package properties for profits. Thanks for joining us on the call today.
Well, thank you, Alex. I appreciate the invitation.
Thanks for being with us on the National Association of Realtors Commercial Podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.